You are Locked On Dodgers, your daily Los Angeles Dodgers podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
So I say D, I say D-O, D-O-D, D-O-D-G, D-O-D-G-E-R-S, team, 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 all.
Hello, Dodger fans, and welcome to Locked On Dodgers. We are part of the Locked On Podcast Network, the number one local sports daily podcast network. Locked On, your team every day. This is the daily podcast covering the Los Angeles Dodgers, bringing you the smart fans' perspective on our boys in blue. I'm Vince Samperio, Chavez Ravine Fiends, and with me is Jeff Snyder of Baseball Essential. Jeff, how are you doing?
I am doing pretty well. How are you, Vince?
Not too bad. There was no work for me on Monday, so I got to enjoy the day a little bit more so than I normally would at a regular day of work.
Yeah, me too. I spent the day with my family and had a lot of fun. Had some waffles. There's a waffle place up here in Utah called Waffle Love, and they do like Belgian waffles with like sugar crystals in the dough, so they're delicious. And so I got one that had, after the waffle's done, then they sprinkle cinnamon on it, and then they slap some fried ice cream on top of that, and then some caramel drizzle and some homemade whipped cream. It was amazing. So, you know, it's hard to have a bad day when that's how you finish it off.
Yeah, that's not too bad. All right, no news from the Dodgers, or some slight news I will talk about in the sense of Nolan Arenado and his status with the Rockies. A question of if it's worth it to go to another stadium to boo the Astros, and a little bit of talk about Driveline and the Dodgers' involvement with it as a team and individual players. But before that, a quick reminder to subscribe to Locked On Dodgers wherever you get your podcasts. And when you get in your car in the morning, tell your smart device to play podcasts Locked On Dodgers. All right, Jeff. So we'll start off with the known Arenado stuff. We talked about him before, if he would become available in trade, and he seemingly was available for trade for the most part, and then the Rockies, they kind of said that it's off the table now, that they're going to go into spring training, and he'll be their everyday third baseman as usual. And then Nolan Arenado came out and said that, he didn't say what about, but he said there's a lot of disrespect from people that, in Colorado, and that he doesn't want to be a part of. And then he said, you can quote that. He went on to add that he's not mad at the trade rumors. There's more to it than that, but didn't add any specifics. Jeff, do you think this marks the end of Nolan Arenado in Colorado, or they'll get over it?
I assume it's the beginning of the end. It's hard to see. Once your star player has come out in the media saying you're a piece of crap, I feel like it's hard to bounce back from that. Obviously, money does wonderful things for a relationship, and the Rockies are due to pay Arenado a lot of money for the next long time. But he does have an opt-out coming up, and whether they trade him, it's hard to see him not opting out unless his performance just craters. You know, I don't have the numbers in front of me, so I don't know how much he's owed after the opt-out. I know it's a lot of money, but if he's that unhappy, it seems like, you know, when you're the difference between $200 million and $180 million or whatever, probably might not be so big that you're willing to stay in a bad relationship for it. So it seems like they might have to open trade talks back up. I'm interested to see if we get more information, though, on what exactly he's upset about, because he says it's not the trade rumors, and that's all we've really heard about. And so I'm interested to know how they're disrespecting him.
Yeah, it kind of came out of nowhere, at least for us. I don't know if the Rocky fans felt the same. And for me, I don't think I'm on record saying it at all when he signed the extension, but I never thought that was the right move for Nolan Arenado. I'm not going to chastise him for getting his money and getting that guaranteed money. But, you know, when you're on a team that I think the Rockies were able to ride the high of them taking the Dodgers to game 163 in order to prove that they are, you know, willing to win and ready on the cusp of being a perennial winner. And clearly that's not what happened last year. So, you know, I think Nolan Arenado could have got the same amount of money or around the same amount of money if he would have been a free agent and just, you know, been able to sign with another team. Not guaranteeing that any team he signs with would have been the same or different, but I think he jumped the gun a little bit. The Rockies were able to use it, and now they're kind of both in a weird situation where we don't really know what's going on, but it would have to imagine that it's going to be done very soon.
Yeah, and I wonder how much of it also is when he signed that extension, that was during the second of back-to-back years where free agents weren't getting any money. You know, the top guys got money, but the free agent market really sucked the last two off seasons, and this off season it hasn't sucked as much. And so maybe it's just that the landscape has changed, and so his mindset has changed where it's not so much, you know. And honestly, once you've gotten some of that money, then it's like, okay, you know, because Arenado hadn't really hit it big yet financially. Obviously, he had made some good money in arbitration. But once you get that guaranteed money, then it's like, okay, now I can maybe demand a little bit more.
Yeah. Yeah, so we'll monitor that situation. You don't imagine that he'll get traded in division unless the Dodgers make a ridiculous proposal. The Cardinals and Braves are two teams that are probably interested or would be interested. But at this point, you know, the Rockies don't really have any leverage if Arenado comes out with statements like this. So it might be better served for them to wait at least to the trade deadline or possibly even longer, as long as Arenado doesn't become a problem in the clubhouse.
There's actually another tweet, Vince, just since we started recording from Troy Rank. He says, I reached Nolan Arenado tonight. He told me GM Jeff Bridich is very disrespectful and that he feels crossed over multiple issues. It has cast doubt about his future in Colorado and the questions if the relationship can be repaired. So it's specifically the general manager that he is finding disrespectful. So that's a little bit more information.
Yeah. Yeah. And definitely seems more like he will not make it through this year in Colorado, which, assuming he doesn't go to a team they face in the playoffs, would be good for the Dodgers that they don't have to face him 19 times a year.
Yeah. And Dane Perry of CBS Sports makes a good point on Twitter. He says, I assure you, Jeff Bridich is far more easily replaceable than Nolan Arenado is. So,
also true.
Yep.
So, once again, the Dodgers have seemingly seen another team blow up in the NL West, and they should continue their dominance. Although the Rockies probably weren't going to challenge them this year anyways, even if they did have happy Nolan Arenado.
If the Rockies lose Arenado, they might be the last place team in the NL West.
Yeah. All right. We were able to talk a little bit more about Nolan Arenado than we thought, so we're going to come back with a question of booing the Astros and how far Dodger fans should go in order to do so, and then get a little bit into some Dodgers work with Driveline. But before that, let's talk about Arizona, Jeff. Arizona, spring training, where spring training is, it's a great place to be, a great time of the year for Arizona, some very nice weather, similar to California weather for those of us that live out here, but definitely better weather than you have in Utah at that time. And it's just a fun experience overall. You got a bunch of teams around. If you're not just a Dodger fan, but a fan of baseball, it's great for if you like autographs or getting close to the players or, you know, just kind of seeing a different perspective than you would at Dodger Stadium or any other stadium. And it's just overall a good time. It's exciting. Obviously, every team comes into the spring with championship aspirations, or at least they'll say that in their preseason talks. But the Dodgers for the last few years have actually had those aspirations, so it's another time to get excited about Dodger baseball. Jeff, if you had to give me one thing you like about Arizona and spring training in general, just give me one right now.
My one would be how many teams there are there. just the, and not the teams, but the players there, even this year. Like, I'm excited to go to Camelback Ranch this year, in addition to seeing the Dodgers, because just right across on the other side of the complex, you've got the White Sox, who have, you know, the, one of the top prospects in baseball, Luis Robert, or however it's pronounced, a ton of young guys, just, you know, and that's just right there at Camelback. You've got, you know, you've got Francisco Lindor up the road. You've got Chris Bryant down the road, you know, Mike Trout and Shohei Ohtani and Anthony Rendon. So many good players right there in Arizona. And that's pretty cool to have them all so close together.
Yeah. So if you want to start planning your trip to Arizona for this spring training, make sure to check out the website, visitarizona.com/springtraining. That's visitarizona.com/springtraining to start planning your trip and stay locked on Dodgers. Okay, let's get into our obscure former Dodger. I went back to the 2017 team to see if there was anything else we could find. I know I went there, I think, last week to see, you know, potential players that were taken that could have had a ring but didn't, and I found one who pitched. I don't think you've done this one, and it's Fabio Castillo, who pitched in two games for the Dodgers in 2017, a total of 1.1 innings. He gave up two earned runs and has not pitched in the majors since then. He went on to go sign with a team in Japan, and then he was released last year, so I'm not sure if he has a team for the upcoming year. But yeah, not much to him that I remember, other than, you know, he came in later that year and pitched a couple games for the Dodgers.
Yeah, I even when you said his name, this is just 2 years ago, and when you said his name, I thought, I've never heard of that guy. And then I remembered he was like a big dude, right?
Yeah.
Chubby fella.
Yeah.
Or at least thick anyway. Yeah. If you had made me guess or try to list all the players who played for the 2017 Dodgers, I could have had a million guesses and never said the name Fabio Castillo.
Now, I don't think I would have remembered him either, but he was indeed a Dodger, and definition of obscure once again, so we're hitting our mark on that.
That's a really good one, yeah.
Yeah. All right, Jeff, so let's talk. It's been a subject of Dodgers Twitter a little bit, of an article that came out in the LA Times about how the group Pantone 294 would consider going to Anaheim to boo the Astros. You know, Pantone 294 gets the big Dodger groups together and goes to opposing stadiums and does the kind of the takeovers there. But, you know, regardless of they planning to do that, they do it, whatever, we're not really worried about that. But as a Dodger fan, you know, to what extent would you go out of your way to, you know, boo the Astros? Do you get any satisfaction out of that? I know you're not a big booer, but, you know, let's just say for the sake that you were, would it bring you any satisfaction, or, you know, what are your thoughts on it?
Honestly, the Astros are definitely a team that I would consider booing. Mostly I don't boo just because I don't feel like I can do it genuinely. Like my mouth doesn't make that noise. I sound weird to myself when I do it. But I think that's because sports and baseball doesn't really, I have it in my mind that it's not that important. And so it's hard for me to justify anger or whatever it is that caused you to boo over something as unimportant as sports. But the Astros, they've got me kind of fired up. And so I could see myself genuinely booing them or heckling them, or I still don't know if I'd boo, but I could definitely see heckling and yelling things. I don't swear either, so it's a, you know, I can't do much, but I guess that keeps me from getting kicked out of the stadium. But yeah, if I was going to be, actually, I guess I might be in Southern California that weekend. And so I would definitely consider going to Anaheim. I don't love the idea of Pantone doing it, just because their brand is cheering the Dodgers, and I kind of like the idea of them maintaining that brand. But I also know of individuals who are getting small groups together to go and do that. And I'm all for that, honestly. I think the Astros deserve every bad thing they get. And if some of that includes people heckling Josh Reddick about his greasy hair and his, you know, I guess that's all I'll say. But, yeah, I'm all in favor of that, I think.
Yeah, I mean, booing, I have no issue with. Unlike you, I'm not opposed to booing when the time presents itself. Obviously, I have, you know, a little bit different standard than some people. But, you know, for me, I don't – going out of my way to do it to for the Astros, it kind of feels to me like they're winning a little bit. And I mean, just for the fact that, you know, you're going out of your way to go boo them. Obviously, they're not winning. We've seen a lot of things about them in the last couple weeks. But, you know, if I happen to ever go to a game, I mean, I don't like going to Angel Stadium anyways, but if I ever happen to be in that area or have the time to go catch them against Astros, I guess maybe, but I don't, for me, if Dodger fans were to do that in big groups, I don't know. I don't like the way it comes off. I don't like the way Dodger fans would be portrayed in that sense.
Yeah, and that definitely resonates with me. The one difference I see, you know, I always laugh when fans of opposing teams start chanting "Beat LA." You know, and my favorite joke to make to people on Twitter when they're talking crap on the Dodgers, I say, "Well, the one thing you and I have common is that we both care more about the Dodgers than we do about your favorite team." You know, but the difference here, I think, is that there isn't any gray area. You know, when you're just talking about favorite teams, if you go to a game just to boo a team you don't like, that's kind of pathetic. But when this is almost a social stand or a morality stand, even, you know, and so there's not any gray area. The Astros deserve to be booed. They deserve a lot worse than what they've gotten so far. And so for me, that mitigates a little bit that patheticness that you're talking about of the bad look, because you're definitely on the right side of history when you're booing the Astros.
Yeah, I'm just not in love with it, but we'll see what happens. You know, if there's creative signs, I'll take that rather than just straight up going and booing. All right, so the next thing we're going to talk about is something you brought up and you kind of want to talk about, and it's the Dodgers' involvement with Driveline. And if you don't know what Driveline is, it is it's from Seattle, right? From Seattle. Or in Seattle, in Washington, that, you know, basically a place where pitchers have gone and kind of either recreated themselves or helped with velocity or spin or different ways and using analytics in order to improve their status as a pitcher and their, you know, repertoire. And the Dodgers, we've seen Kenley Jansen, he went to them this offseason. Alex Wood was with them this offseason at some point. The Dodgers hired one of the Driveline guys to be their minor league pitching guy. So, Jeff, I don't know where exactly you want to go with this, but I'm going to let you steer the ship a little bit.
Yeah, I've mostly just been really interested in, you know, the fact that the Dodgers did hire Rob Hill from Driveline to be their pitching coordinator. That is, in my mind, that's a super significant step. Because Driveline, it's, you know, they use technology. They use all the cameras, the Rapsodos and the Edgetronics and all that stuff. If you haven't read The MVP Machine by Ben Lindbergh and Travis Sochik, I definitely recommend it. It's a great book. It's already dated a little bit because, a lot of the focus of the book is on the Astros player development. And so that is kind of funny that now we find out that maybe the Astros were succeeding in some other ways. But the stuff about Driveline is my favorite part of that book. It talks a lot about Trevor Bauer. He's kind of one of the pioneers of using Driveline he actually uses it to create pitches. He each offseason he goes and says, "I'm going to create a new pitch." And then he works on that. And it's just really interesting. But Alex Wood, you know, went there to try to get some velocity back, and to how Rob Hill described it on Twitter was cleaning up his arm path, which I think, you know, whether that's to help with the velocity or to help with platoon splits or to help avoid injury, but all those things, you know, the these slow motion cameras that they're using, like ultra slow motion. You can just pick up on every little thing. You can pick up on the spin of the ball and really, really focus on that. And then the other, like you said, the other Dodger who's been working out there is Kenley Jansen. And Jansen's goal is to remake his slider and get his slider back to where it wants to be and to add some velocity back. I'm really excited about the
potential. Slider is cutter.
His cutter, sorry. I'm really excited about the potential with Kenley because, last year and a little bit the year before, Kenley has struggled, but we've seen flashes of brilliance, and if he can get his cutter consistently cutting again, that would be a huge, huge boost to the Dodgers bullpen. So that both of those guys going to Driveline really intrigues me at what they can bring to the table.
Yeah, I mean, it's no secret that the Dodgers have been on the analytics train, and they've had, you know, they've used all the technology that they can use in order to help their guys, and, you know, to use a place like Driveline that's kind of refined that, and, you know, to take from that is smart. And it's one of those things where I'm not sure how much they're paying for, you know, Hill, or how much anything else is going into it, but it's one of the other parts that there was an article about it before, how, you know, the Dodgers the Dodgers being able to spend more money than other teams doesn't just come on in terms of payroll. It comes in terms of player development and technology and all the other stuff. And this is just one of those parts of that. And it's clear that, you know, it works. The Dodgers have drafted in pretty much the last five, ten picks of the last few drafts. And, you know, a lot of those guys have come on and become, you know, good players for the Dodgers or trade chips in order for them to get other good players. So in order for them to continue how they're doing, they just got to keep doing this and keep, you know, leaning into and getting help wherever they see fit. And this is just one of those ways that they can do it. And like I said, especially on the Jansen front, if he can get back to that cutter and get that cutter moving, even if he doesn't pick up too much velocity, just the fact that his cutter is moving back to the way it was is a big help, and, you know, can only help the Dodgers at this point. And can't really get, I mean, I guess it could get worse than it was last year, but it'd be very hard to.
Yep. Yeah, and one of the points in the MVP machine book is what you just said, that with the luxury tax, which kind of acts as a de facto salary cap with limits, you know, hard slots on draft pick bonuses and international signing bonuses, teams are really limited in where they can spend their money. And player development, there is no limit. The Dodgers can spend as much money on player development as they want without having to worry about luxury tax issues, without, you know, any of that. It's they can spend as much on it, and they have. And they are, you know, easily one of the best teams in baseball as far as player development goes. And one final little thing I wanted to mention about this that I haven't seen anywhere else, and I don't have any idea if it's even feasible, but I just think about Clayton Kershaw. And, you know, he's lost a couple miles an hour off his fastball, and because of that, his slider isn't as effective because it's the same speed as his fastball. All those things, you know. Every night I go to bed dreaming that maybe Clayton Kershaw will be throwing 93 next year. And I don't know if that's realistic, but I think about Justin Verlander, who in, you know, 2015, 2016, Justin Verlander was almost unanimously considered to be on the down side of his career. He was, you know, he was getting old and losing his stuff. And then he just turned it around. And I don't know what it was that did it, but I feel like that's possible for Kershaw. And I don't know if the Driveline stuff is the answer, you know, focusing on biomechanics or whatever. But I just wonder if Rob Hill might have some ideas to, whether it's getting Kershaw's velocity back or working with him on, you know, his slider or whatever to make it, differentiate it from his fastball more or whatever it is.
Yeah, I mean, the Kershaw thing, we talked about this probably on our old podcast, is, you know, Kershaw's such a guy of regimen and the way he's gone about it, and he probably realizes he has to change it up somehow or introduce a new way of thinking. So it's definitely possible. Obviously, we haven't seen him linked to them specifically going to their facilities, but like I said, with Hill on the staff now, and maybe being able to work with them in spring training or give him some ideas, or maybe he's already talked to him. We don't know, but it's very much possible that at least, you know, something could happen and some of these Dodger guys can kind of get back to where they were a little bit.
We can dream anyway.
Yeah. All right. That's going to do it for today's episode. We will be back tomorrow to talk about something related to the Dodgers. Not entirely sure what yet, but that's the fun part when you come every day, is to see what we're going to talk about. So thank you for listening to today's show. Make sure to subscribe wherever you get your podcasts, wherever you think we sound best, Apple devices or iTunes. A little more priority than others, but wherever you listen and subscribe, we'll take it. If you like the show, please show us, download, listen, tell your friends, tell your family, post about it on social media, and please, please, please rate and review on Apple or wherever you listen. If you want to follow us on social media, you can do so on Twitter and Instagram at LockedOnDodgers. Jeff is on Twitter at SnyDog. I'm at Vince Samperio. If you want to call and leave us a voicemail or shoot us a text, you can do so at 323-863-LOCK. That's 323-863-5625. Or shoot us an email, LockedOnDodgers@gmail.com. We're here every weekday morning, and we hope you'll be with us. When you get in your car, tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On Dodgers. And remember, you don't have to agree. You just have to listen. Have a good one.
We'll talk to you tomorrow.
D. I say D-O. D-O-D-G-E-R-S. The team that's all heart, all heart and all thumbs. They're my Los Angeles. Your Los Angeles. Our Los Angeles.
Do you think we'll really win the pennant?
Bye.